Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Good morning, church. This morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the moms that we have here with us and the time that we get to spend together worshiping and praising you. Lord, I ask that this morning we may just set aside whatever distractions we have in life, whatever is holding us back from coming after you, and we may just fix our eyes upon you, remembering how you've provided for us, how you've taken care of us. Father, remembering you were there for us even when we turned our backs on you, that you still love us. Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. He won't be quiet.
We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause He hung up on that cross, then He rose up from that grave. My God still rolling stone away.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house.
Redeemed by His grace, let the house of the Lord sing praise. 'Cause we were the beggars,
now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in His place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
Amen. You guys know this is my favorite part of this whole day. This opportunity we have to pray for others who don't know Jesus, because we know we're not the ones who transform anyone's life. It's only Jesus that can. You know, we can preach until we're blue in the face, but if Jesus doesn't do a new work in their heart, what does it matter? And that's why we lift it up to them. We give them over to Jesus, because He's the one who transforms the hearts and the minds. And some of you may not know this, the fact that you're sitting here this morning is an answer to someone's prayer already that's been praying for you. And so this morning, what I want you to do, if you're new here, if you're not familiar with this, is what we do is every Sunday we set aside time to pray for those three people in our lives that don't know Jesus. But here's the kicker. We don't want you just to pray for them today. There's little cards out there that you can grab and put their names on. And we want you to pray for them each and every day. Put it in your wallet. Put it in your car. Put it in the mirror in your bathroom. Wherever it will remind you to pause and pray for them. And we know that God hears our prayers, because He has answered many prayers already. And there's been many who've come to Jesus through it. So right now, what I want you to do is think of those three people. And for some of you, I know it's even more. But I want you to think of them by name, and let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that we have to be here together, to join and to worship you. And Father, that there is joy in the house this morning. And Lord, there's so many people around us who don't know who you are, that they may have been shown religion, but Lord, they've never been shown a relationship with you. And Lord, we ask that this morning that you do a new work inside of their hearts. Lord, we lift them up by name in this moment. Father, you know who they are. You know the work that needs to be done inside of them. And Lord, may they discover it's not about them, but it's about you. Father, may you soften even the hardest of hearts this morning. May you hear their names today. Lord, we know that you know who they are, and may you do a new work in them. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for the way that you will answer our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end.
again and again. All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else before a king. Set for our hearts in hallelujah, hallelujah.
Children and their children, may His favor be upon you.
generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you, and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. Thank you.
Spirit says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I seek. Lord, we surrender to you. You are the vine. I am the branch. Cut off any dead fruit that is in me, any branches that don't belong. Lord, we seek you.
Father, you are good, worthy of our praise this morning. We just thank you, Father. Amen and amen. You may be seated.
Every morning before the world wakes up, she's Thanks. Already caring for those around her. Before the coffee is brewed, before the shoes are tied, before the questions are asked and the car is packed, she's already whispered a prayer, made a plan, and created a foundation for everyone else to stand on. She's the quiet strength, the steady hand, and the love that reflects the heart of God. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Today is about more than flowers and cards. It's about our gratitude for her silent prayers, about acknowledging her sacrifices that go unnoticed, and about seeing her quiet faith, a faith that's shaping generations to come. So to all the moms among us today, and to the women who long to one day be called mom, and to all the spiritual mothers and grandmothers who continue to stand in the gap, God sees you, and today, so do we. And we declare that the heart of a mother, we declare that your heart is an absolute exquisite masterpiece from the heart of God himself. Happy Mother's Day.
Amen. Thanks, moms. Well, good morning, church. You know, it's great to be here today as we get to celebrate Mother's Day, and it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day, and I'm just so thankful to be here. And so whether you are a mom by blood or the mom that stepped up that when someone needed someone in their lives, today we celebrate the gift that is you today, this morning. I want to welcome our guests this morning along with those joining us online and the radio. I am so thankful for each of you. But before we get going in our message, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we just want to thank you for the moms that you've put into our lives. Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity we have to dive into your word and just to learn more. And Lord, I ask that this morning it be your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was preparing for what to say this morning, I got to thinking and I thought back to our message from last week that Pastor Victor brought us. And in there, he talked a lot about impact and the impact that we can have on the lives around us. And it got me thinking, this morning we are celebrating Mother's Day. We're celebrating moms. We're celebrating women who've had a great impact in our lives. We're honoring those who've impacted our lives. Because each of us here have had a mom that has impacted our lives. Now, that mom may not have been our mom by birth. Don't get me wrong. That may not be the case. It may have been a grandmother, an aunt, or a family friend that stepped up when we really needed somebody in those moments that had a great impact on our lives. And I know Mother's Day is a unique day. It's one of those days that can provoke a wide range of emotions for many people. For some of you here this morning, celebrating Mother's Day is a day of pure joy and celebration. You look back on your life and you thank God for the moms that He had placed in your life. Whether it was your mom by birth or the ones who chose to step up and play that role when you needed it most. Because we all know their moms come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? Yet for others, Mother's Day brings about this feeling of grief, this feeling of longing, and sometimes even more complicated memories and feelings. So before we go too far into our message this morning, I just want to say this clearly. Today's message is not about perfection. Instead, it's about influence. Because the truth is, one of the most powerful forces in this world is not fame. It's not wealth. It's not even the titles that we hold within society. Instead, it is this quiet, consistent, influential life of faith. And though this morning we're honoring moms and we're honoring the impacts that they've had on our lives, this message is meant for all of us, reminding us of the impact that we can have on the world around us when we live a life that is faithfully searching for Christ. And that's an impact that can not only impact our own children, but the world around us and generations ahead. Our passage this morning is found over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Yes, that's right, guys. One verse is the basis of the message. And it's here that we see the effects of an impactful, faithful life. It reads in this passage, "I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm convinced is in you also." Now, this passage is found in one of the two letters that Paul wrote young Timothy. And Timothy was a young pastor and a leader inside of the early church. And he was someone that Paul had personally mentored and discipled, and a Jewish mother. And we know he was raised in such a way where faith can be passed on to the next generation. But real faith that has walked out day and night. Paul opened up this passage with these words, "I recall your sincere faith." If you know the scriptures, he didn't say, "Great job leading over there in Corinth. That was a mess, but you handled it well." No, that's not what he did at all. No, instead, he started with a simple word, sincere. He pointed out that his faith was sincere. And that word sincere is important in this moment. You know, sincere means to be genuine, to be authentic, to the real thing. Basically, what Paul is saying is, Timothy, your faith is not an act. It's not just a performance. Your faith is real. And now, this doesn't mean that Timothy was perfect by any means. But you don't have to be perfect to be influential or to have an impact on the world around you. But your faith has to be real. And there's power in a faithful life. And that can be hard for us to understand inside of the culture that we live in. Because we live in this culture that is obsessed with appearance, with that look of perfection. Have you guys ever met somebody like that? Where everything has to be correct down to the letter all the way through. And there's a lot of people who work really hard to appear successful. Just as there's a lot of people who work really hard to look happy or to look spiritual. But I want to remind you of what Jesus says in Luke 8:17. He says, "For nothing is concealed that won't be revealed, and nothing is hidden that won't be made known and brought to light." It's a reminder that we can put on an act for a while, but eventually the truth will come out. And that implies to our faith as well. You know, our children, they watch us. They watch what we do and what we say, sometimes in ways we don't want them to watch us. But they notice when we sing about trusting God in church, but panic at home. They take notice of this. They notice when we speak kindly of people in public, but speak harshly in private. They notice when we claim to be a Christian on a Sunday morning, but live differently Monday through Saturday. They take notice of these things, and the world takes notice as well. This is why Paul is emphasizing the importance of having a sincere faith. This is why it's noticeable in young Timothy, because a fake faith may impress people briefly, but when you have genuine faith, it transforms not only our lives, but the lives of the people around us, including our children. You know, our children see how we respond when we're stressed. They see how we treat others when they can do nothing for us. They see how we walk out our faith, not just in public, but in private as well. And I want you guys to hear me on this. Your examples preach louder than any words ever can. You know, the world around us, our children don't need perfect Christians. Your children don't need a perfect mother. Instead, they need a real one. One who truly knows Jesus, that seeks after him with everything they've got. One that lives it out honestly, even in the imperfections. I know I praise God for the moms that I have walked out throughout my life through different stages. There's been different ladies who have come alongside me and who have mothered me at different stages of life. I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for my mom and the moms who stepped up in those moments when I needed someone to speak into my life. Now, don't get me wrong, they were not perfect women, but they were consistent. They were genuine in their faith. They taught me more than any Sunday school lesson or sermon ever preached. I know some of you here this morning may struggle a little bit with some of this and hearing it, and you may feel a little down about yourself. You may be thinking, well, I've made too many mistakes to make an impact. I wasn't always spiritually strong when I should have been, and I failed in some areas, but I want to encourage you for a moment. Open up your Bibles and you start reading through it. You will soon discover that it is filled with a bunch of imperfect people that God used in mighty ways, just as he used these two women in our passage this morning. You know, what made these two women so influential, what caused them to have such a great impact on young Timothy's life was not perfection. It was the fact that their faith was genuine, it was real, and this is where Timothy got his faith from. You know, real faith, genuine faith, says, I don't have it all together, but I trust God who does. Real faith says, I fail sometimes, but I repent when I do. Real faith acknowledges that we struggle at times, but we keep following Jesus anyways. You know, sometimes the most powerful thing that we can do as Christians, the most powerful things that we can do as parents, is simply say, hold on, I was wrong, will you forgive me? The example that sets for the world around us, for the children, and for the next generation. And don't get me wrong, I know that can be hard to do. You don't want to acknowledge your faults to your children. But it's in those moments that we teach humility. It's in those moments that we teach what grace looks like. It's in those moments that the gospel of Jesus can shine through. Because our children and the world around us don't need a flawless example of what it means to be a Christian. They need honest examples of what it looks like to follow Jesus, even in our imperfections. Because if you look around the church, you will find a bunch of imperfect people. There was a phrase I read this week as I was preparing for the message, and it was simply, faith is often caught before it's taught. Let that sink in for a moment. Faith is often caught before it's taught, meaning people can usually see your faith before you even talk about your faith. Paul, in our passage this morning, said that Timothy's faith first lived in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. What Paul is saying is that Timothy's faith first lived in his grandmother and his mother's lives, meaning it was modeled for young Timothy. That word lived is really important. It means that their faith was not just something that they talked about. Instead, it was something that dwelled deep within them. It was part of who they were. Their faith helped shape their attitudes. Their faith helped shape the decisions that they made. It set the tone for the priorities that they had in their homes. It was part of every aspect of their life, and that faith was alive inside of them. And it was shouldn't, and the parents look at each other and trying to figure out where did they learn that from? Because I find that one funny as someone, I used to find it funny, maybe not as funny as it used to be, But it's a funny one when you see them look and they're trying to figure out where in the world did the kid learn that. Well, we all know it was the uncle, okay? It was the uncle. There's always the uncle to blame inside of those moments. But I want to remind you, you can only blame the uncle for so much. I was the uncle that's been blamed for a lot of things, okay? But the reality is our children are always watching us. The world is watching us. They see how we respond under pressure, how we handle conflict, and how we treat people, and what we practice in our lives, what we model in our lives reveals what we truly believe, who we are deep down inside. And that includes both the good times and the bad times. You know, when life is going well, when life is easy and everything is going our way, it's often easy to openly talk about our faith in those moments, right? When things are going well for us, we can often share. But when life starts to become difficult, when things stop going our way, that's when we struggle. But that's also when our faith becomes the most visible. You know, going back to our passage this morning, I imagine throughout Timothy's life, he watched both his mother and his grandmother walk through some difficult seasons. And it's in those moments that he got to witness their faith remain steady. Not perfect, not without emotion, but grounded in Christ. And what a powerful moment that had to be. You know, your children may not remember every Bible lesson that you ever taught them. They may not remember every Bible verse that you had them memorize. How many of you guys remember all the verses that mom and dad had you memorize growing up? You probably don't remember them all. But you know what your children do remember? They remember seeing their mom praying through the tears. They remember watching their parents trust God in even the most difficult of seasons of life. They remember hearing worship songs and praises being lifted to Jesus in the middle of those painful seasons. They remember watching you forgive when the world says to hate. Your children notice and they remember those things. And for those of you who have done that, where your children have seen that, I want to thank you for it. I want to thank you for showing that display in that moment. I know those are often moments that we want to hide from our children, but I want to thank you for letting them see it. Because there's power inside of those moments. There's a testimony in those moments when they see you at your weakness, but still trust in Jesus. But that's kind of the point, right? Our faith is something that is meant to be lived out openly for others to see. It's not something that's supposed to be hidden for our own private time. It's not something that's meant to be just for us. Throughout the Bible, God instructs his people to share their faith, to instruct the next generation for Jesus. When we flip over to the book of Deuteronomy, we see God giving Moses the Ten Commandments, and Moses takes them, and he shares them with the Israelites. And after he had given them the instructions and everything with it, he tells the Israelites in chapter 6, verse 6 through 7, these words that I am giving you today are to be on your hearts. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Another way of putting this passage is our faith is never meant to be compartmentalized. Instead, it is meant to become part of our everyday life, not just something that we do for an hour on Sunday. It's not just a public performance when others are watching. Instead, our faith is something that is called to be walked out and woven through everyday, ordinary moments of life. When we get up, when we lay down, when we travel, when we stay, when we eat, no matter what it is, because it's in those moments that discipleship begins to happen. It's in those moments when others get to see Jesus within us. And the discipleship begins in those conversations with our children. It begins in those conversations with the world around us. Discipleship begins in our routines, in those moments of hardships that we face, when we forgive others, even the forgiveness that we ask of others. It's in that consistent, faithful life chasing after Jesus. That's what Timothy's mom and grandmother did for him. They modeled this for young Timothy. They witnessed to him on what it means to be a follower of Christ. And we so often forget the impact that we can have inside of those small moments. Moms, I never want you to forget the impact that you can have on your children and the generations up ahead. You know, I don't think Timothy's mom and grandma had any idea what that little boy would grow up to do. What they were influencing, that he would one day travel with Paul. That he would become a pastor of churches, that he would preach the gospel and preach it boldly, that he would have no idea of the impact that he would have on shaping the early church. that the simple faith that they walked out day in and day out, not perfectly, but faithfully, would grow into this magnificent legacy that we're still talking about 2,000 years later. We never know what God will do through our influence when we stay faithful to Him. Moms, never underestimate the role that you can play or the impact that you can have on your children or the world around you. And we thank you for that. Ladies, I want you to notice something important in this passage this morning. Paul honored both the mother and the grandmother of Timothy, because here he's not just talking about biological motherhood. He's talking about spiritual influence. You know, some of the most powerful mothers in our lives are not our biological moms. They're spiritual mentors who encouraged us. There are women who discipled us, who took care of us in our hour of need, who taught us and led us through difficult times in life. The women who invested into the next generation of believers. And that's what we're celebrating this morning. The moms all around us. You know, when we talk about the influence that Timothy's mom and grandma had on him, that influence wasn't from themselves. It was from Jesus, who they had trusted in, and who they had placed their faith in, and they passed it on. Their influence came from knowing God, walking with Him, and trusting Him. Real influence flows from a real relationship with Jesus. And that's where this message turns for all of us, not just mothers. But every one of us in here is influencing someone in our lives. And it brings about a question. What are we passing on? And as we close out this morning, I want you to imagine Timothy reading this letter. As a leader in the church, as a pastor, and Paul says, I see your faith. And then he begins to trace it all the way back to his mother and grandmother. What an impact that had to have for him as he read that. I never want you to underestimate what God can do through a faithful life that chases after Him. A prayer whispered in a quiet room, a decision to trust God in the middle of hardship, a consistent walk when you think no one is watching. That kind of to the church. Let's honor, support, and encourage the women who are pouring. They have spoken into our lives. We thank you for the ways that they have been there for us in our hardships, the way that they have hugged us when we cried, when they've kissed the boo-boos when we fell.
Let's go ahead and stand.
I'm facing mountains, so
my strength. Find me in the heartache, blessing your name. Even when the whole world's not going my way, I can still say, Lord, I can still say, hallelujah, in the hard things, in the hard things. Hallelujah, in the hard things, in the hard things. When the whole world's not going my way, I can still say, Lord, I can still in all things for good. Oh, God, you are working. God, you are working. You're working all things for good. The whole world's not going my way, I can still say, Lord, I can still say, hallelujah, in the hard things, you are my strength. Find me in the heartache, blessing your name. Even when the whole world's not going my way, I can
can still say, Lord, I can still say, hallelujah, in the hard things, hard things, in the hard things. Hallelujah, in the hard things, hard things, hard things, in the hard things. Hard things, in the hard things. You were with
Happy Mother's Day. God bless you guys. Thank you to all the moms out there and all the moms that were moms that didn't have and have to be. We are thankful for each and every one of you. And with that being said, as you guys leave today, we have a gift for all the moms out there. So make sure that you grab all things. Anyways, God bless. Anyways, God bless.
Hallelujah, hard things, hard things, hard things.
In the heartache, blessing your name, even when the whole world's not going my way. I can still say, Lord, I can still say, hallelujah, in the hard things, hard things, in the hard things. Hallelujah, in the hard things, hard things, in the hard things.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. Trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great, how great is our God.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.